Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
As humans, we're doomed to live life far beneath God's intent. But as believers, we're called to the highest life possible, a life lived through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study Power for Life. It will change you. If you are in Christ, then you are called to the highest life possible and imaginable. Life lived through the power and the presence of the very Holy Spirit of God that came into your life the moment you trusted Christ as Savior. Power for Life, that's our topic on today's edition of Daily in the Word. Welcome to this daily radio program featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can find out more about Dr. Chappell and this program when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. And if you haven't already, I hope you'll visit the website and subscribe to the Rooted in Christ daily devotional. Every day to your email box or to your RSS reader, you'll receive a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, a rooted principle, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading that will challenge your life and take you through the Bible one day at a time, all the way through the Bible this year. We hope you'll join us on our Rooted in Christ study in the Daily in the Word devotional. Find it at dailyintheword.org. But right now, we're going to open our hearts to the Word of God and discover God's power for living our lives today. Our final message in this series, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, His power to witness through us.
These days, people get excited about cupcakes. A lot of ladies talking about cupcakes. They get all excited about it. And it's just one thing after another. But I believe that a Christian should be mostly excited about the fact that Jesus saves. Amen. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of yesteryear, spoke to his church one time. He said, "Now, when you speak of heaven, let your light and let your face just light up." He said, "When you speak of hell, your everyday face will do just fine." Now, there are some Christians that need to have their everyday face light up a little bit as we testify for the glory of God. Ye shall be witnesses. You see, I don't know that God can use me to be a witness. By His power, you can fulfill this purpose of being a witness. There was a boy by the name of Douglas Maurer. He was a 15-year-old boy in Missouri. He had a temperature a few years ago, 103, 104. His parents took him into the doctors. They couldn't understand. They began to run a series of tests. The doctors discovered that Douglas had leukemia. So they called his family in for a family conference. And they did not hide anything from the family. They were very thorough in the diagnosis, and they told the family that Douglas would need 2 or 3 years of chemotherapy. They said, "We're going to tell you the honest truth, Douglas. You're going to lose your hair. Your body's going to swell up. There's going to be a lot of side effects. It's going to be a very difficult time." Douglas really struggled with that. They hadn't sugarcoated the news. Douglas went really into a state of depression. He tried not to be discouraged, but he was very, very depressed. His aunt in another state heard that Douglas was having a hard time, and During one of his stays in the hospital, she decided to send him some flowers, and the flowers came, and Douglas saw them. He saw the note from his aunt, and that was all right. But then he saw another note right next to the note from his aunt. And that note said, "Douglas, I work at Brie Florist. I took your order. I had leukemia when I was 7. I'm 22 now. My heart goes out to you. Good luck, Laura Bradley." They said when Douglas got the little note from Laura, his whole countenance changed. A smile came over his face. Something about that little note changed his outlook. He was in a hospital with millions of dollars of equipment, surrounded by doctors with hundreds of years of experience, but a 22-year-old girl who made $170 a week, by taking a moment to show compassion, touched that man's life. I want you to know this morning that you don't have to have a theological degree and you don't have to be a Christian of some 20 years for God to use you to touch someone's life. I want you to know it doesn't matter where you live or how much you make, that any one of you in the power of the Spirit of God could touch somebody's life for eternity this month. Someone said, "Compassion is your hurt in my heart." Instead of getting mad at the neighbors, how about having compassion on them? Instead of getting frustrated at the neighborhood, how about trying to tell others about Jesus Christ this month? That's the pattern. You shall be witnesses. This is your purpose in life. Notice again the verse, please, verse number 8. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Notice this. "And ye shall be." Would you say that with me? "And ye shall be." "And ye shall be." It does not say you shall do witnessing. It says you shall be. God has created you as a human being. He wants you to be something for Him and through Him. And the main reason He has left us on this planet is that we might be witnesses for Him. Hey, how many of you have lived long enough to figure out as a Christian, it's not all about me, it's all about Him. You shall be witnesses. If you ever look at the verse when you come into this church above the fireplace, it says, Philippians 1:27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And that verse begins by speaking about our conversation, which is our lifestyle. And in essence, the verse says, our whole lifestyle should be about getting the gospel out, striving together for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is the will of God, especially in this moment in which we live, that we would live every day ready to witness, ready to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in your notes at 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." God says, I want you to be ready tomorrow on your shuttle bus, tomorrow in your workstation, tomorrow at the gym, tomorrow, wherever you might be, at any moment, at any time, I want you to be ready to tell somebody what hope you have in you. And I don't know about you folks, the only real hope I have in me is Jesus Christ. And I want you to be ready, he says, to tell someone. That's why we have the team soul winning kickoff in a few weeks. That's why we have the big signs in the lobby. Sign up for Team Soul Winning so you can learn how to witness, so you can go with someone who knows how to witness, so you can be ready always to give an answer to those that are looking for hope. A few years ago, I was preaching down in Houston, Texas, and I preached on Monday night, and then I preached on Tuesday morning. And before I preached on Tuesday night, the pastor said, "Brother Chapel, would you like to go with us to visit the NASA Mission Control here in Houston?" He said, "We have one of the directors in the church. He'd like to give you a tour." And I said, "That'd be great." And we went into the building and we walked around, saw all the computers, saw the big screens, and they were getting ready to track the next shuttle that was going to launch as it orbited Earth. And they were telling us all about it. It was fascinating. And while they were talking, I kind of meandered over to the sidewall, and I noticed on the sidewall there was a sign, and it said mission statement. And I like to read mission statements. And sometimes I go to a hotel or a place of business, they'll have their mission statement. I thought, This is the mission statement for mission control. This is the granddaddy of all mission statements. I want to read this one. And I went over there and this is what it said. Foundations for mission operations at mission control. To always be aware that suddenly and unrepentantly, we may find ourselves in a role where our performance has ultimate consequences. So the engineers there at NASA were to have as their mission to always be aware that suddenly and unrepentantly, their role, their performance could have ultimate consequences. In other words, unrepentantly, at a moment's notice, they may have to change a direction or set a dial or give a command that they can't undo. They've got to make the right decision at that very moment because the lives of our astronauts depend upon it. And those engineers are commanded in their mission statement to always be aware of that fact. And we are commanded in our mission statement to always be aware and to always be ready that at any moment God might put you across the path of somebody who needs you to be what you were created to be, and that is a witness for Jesus Christ. Most churches are not witnessing churches, and most Christians are not witnessing Christians, but I say again, His last command should be our first priority, telling others about Jesus Christ. How many of you have a friend, a neighbor, a relative that is lost and without Christ while you sit in this church this morning? Come on now. All of us need to be better witnesses for Jesus Christ. So we are purposed to testify of the truth. Notice secondly, we are purposed to identify Jesus Christ. Notice specifically again in the verse it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." What do the next two words say? Unto me. Let's say it together. Unto me. You shall be witnesses. Say it with me. Unto. All right. And so we are purposed to identify Jesus Christ. Look in your notes, John 15:26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." So the Holy Spirit of God is going to help you to glorify and testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." Jesus said, "You're going to testify of me." That is the purpose of the power that he has given to us. And so we see the promise of the power. And we see the purpose of the power, that we might be witnesses. And as we close this morning, notice with me the priority of this power. God prioritizes how he wants and where he wants this power manifested. Notice again in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me," notice this, "both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, first of all, we see that we are to be involved in a simultaneous witness. We see the word both. He says, "I want you to be getting the gospel out where you live and in other places at the same time." By the way, how many of you are thankful that we have missionaries all around the world preaching the gospel right now? Because we couldn't obey Acts 1:8 without those missionaries partnering with us. While we reach Lancaster, they're reaching uttermost parts of the earth. And what are we to do and what are they to do? We are to preach Jesus Christ, Acts 5:42. "And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ," telling others about Jesus. We are to see those that receive Jesus baptized in water. The baptism does not wash away their sin, but the baptism is their testimony of faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And after someone is saved and baptized, we are to help them grow in their faith, to become a disciple of Christ, to learn and grow. That's why all of our 45 adult Bible classes have people in the class who are ready on a Wednesday night to sit down with you and line upon line help you get grounded in the Word of God, because Jesus said, "Teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you." 2 Timothy 2:2, "committing to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Hey, let's just put it right down where the rubber meets the road. The goal of Lancaster Baptist Church is to help you grow in the Bible and get to know God and grow in your faith so that you can find someone else and tell them what Jesus Christ has done for you, you see. because we believe that every member here should be in the ministry and that all of us are to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's the will of God for His church, that we simultaneously take the message out. Right now this morning, we have members of this church in Europe and Asia, in all parts of this country, and I believe it's not just a matter of work whereby God is sending them around the world, but that He wants them to take the name of Jesus wherever they go as well. Both in this place and that place at the same time. But notice, not only simultaneously, but notice strategically. The strategy of the church simply and profoundly found in verse 8. He says, I want you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, into all the world. You could say it this way, I want you to go into your community with the gospel. The Apostle Paul practiced this in Acts chapter 20. He went to a city called Ephesus in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. The Apostle Paul, as he went there, describes his ministry later on in the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 20. Notice what he says. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and what does it say? From house to house, all right? Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone says, well, house to house doesn't work. Let me tell you, it doesn't work if you don't do it. But I'm going to tell you right now, friend, I don't care what your method is. Find a method, find a way to tell someone else about Jesus Christ. And strategically, the Lancaster Baptist Church exists to win as many people in Lancaster and Palmdale and the surrounding area to Jesus Christ as we possibly can. I want you to know, friend, that we intend to reach our Jerusalem with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We take it very seriously. We map out our streets and we look at our mission field and we say, Lord, help us so that no one would come in here on a 6-month TDY in this community, a time of training or a short spell here, and not at least have the opportunity to be saved. How many of you believe that everybody deserves the opportunity to have Jesus in their life? We're not going to hide the light here at Lancaster Baptist Church. We're called to testify, to go out. Do you? Are you fully engaged in your purpose, or are you missing your purpose? The purpose is to witness. I remember as a Bible college student, our vice president of our college one day called me in. He said, Paul, we have four ladies out near Indio, California, that they don't have a church near them, and they'd like someone to come and preach to them. Would you go out and preach for them? Boy, I tell you what, that was great. Anytime I could preach, I preached at the rescue missions, the rest homes. I said, I'll be glad to go down there. We took a few students down there, and I preached to four or five ladies. I preached about Noah. I preached about the ark, the gopher wood, all the animals, two by two, the sin of the antediluvian society. Every imagination was only evil and wicked continually. I preached everything I knew about Noah, and the whole message lasted 8 minutes in length. A lot of times on Sunday afternoon, my wife says, honey, why don't you preach that message about Noah that you often used to preach? Much to my surprise, after I preached that message, they asked me to come back and preach again the next week. I don't know if it was the content of the message or the length of the message, but they asked me to come back. And we began to have a ministry out there, and later we organized that into a church that still exists to this day. And as we were getting the church going, I began, after we were married, going out on Friday nights and Saturday mornings, and we'd do some soul winning. We would go from house to house testifying. We'd find people in the market, in the park, testify to them about Jesus Christ, invite them to the church. And I remember knocking on a fella's gate, waving at him. He invited me back into his garden area. His name was Carl Houston. Carl was a retired man living in that area. And I don't know a lot, didn't know a lot at that time about how to get a conversation going, but I knew enough to show an interest in a man's stuff, you know. Might be a motorcycle, might be a car. In his case, it was a garden. He said, you want to talk to me? You got to come back here to my garden. I'm working in my garden. I said, all right. Went back to his garden. And that man had a beautiful garden, and his specialty was onions. I mean, this guy had huge, huge onions. In fact, Carl reached down in the ground, he plucked out an onion, he washed it off with the hose. He goes, this sand grows some of the best onions in America. He says, these are so tasty. And he bit it like an apple. And just stand there biting that old onion like that and chewing on that onion. And after a few minutes, he said, here. He pulled me up one, washed up, said, have a bite. We were newlyweds. I mean, I'm telling you what, I wanted to smell good. I wasn't sure about that. I took a little nibble on that onion. He said, oh, go ahead, take a big old bite like an apple. And I said, all right. I took a big old bite. Carl and I stood there eating our onions. And after a little while, I said, now, Carl, I appreciate the onion, but I want to talk to you about something. I said, Carl, do you know the Lord? Do you know if you died that you'd go to heaven someday? Carl, have you ever thought about this important matter? It's important to know. And Carl said, I don't really know that I'd go to heaven. And after about 30 minutes sitting on his picnic table there in his backyard, I had the joy of showing Carl how to pray to receive Christ as his Savior. Oh, listen, Carl made the most important decision of his life that day. Now, I smelled like an onion for 2 weeks after that. I went back to my theology classes on Monday, and all the guys around me moved their chairs away from me. They said, what is wrong with you? And I said, well, I had to eat an onion to help a guy get saved. But you know what I was doing? I was reaching out to our Jerusalem. Reaching our Jerusalem. Reaching our Judea, that's our country. Reaching Samaria, that's our continent. Reaching the uttermost parts of the earth. Hey, I want everybody to take very quickly the little envelope in front of you on the pew right there and just pull one out if there's an envelope there. Just take a look at that. You'll find a little spot that says missions on there. You see that? You see that spot that says missions? Talk to me. We don't want to spend too much time talking about money, so you got to help me here get this going quick, right? But you see that little spot that says missions. Did you know every time you fill out the envelope and write $5 or $10 for missions, it helps us to support 202 families around the world as I stand here preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just about money, it's about souls. It's about people that are in Africa and the Philippines and Europe and people that are in China and people that are all over the world right now, and we get the privilege of strategically partnering with them through our giving and our prayers to get the gospel out. And so Jesus gathers his disciples, and look at it now, verse 8. His last command. He's about to go up to heaven, and he says to them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. By the way, how many of you believe Jesus is coming back? Amen. So the angel sees these men just kind of staring there and says, look at, don't stand around staring up at heaven. He's coming back. Go out and do what he told you to do and make his last command your first priority. Folks, let's not spend the rest of our days just staring at the heavens. Let's be the witnesses that God has called us to be. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you can't testify about what you've seen, heard, and know until you receive Christ as your Savior. And we would encourage you to do that today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the power for life. Thank you for the power to witness and tell the good news.
You've been listening to Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying power for life, what it means to live life each and every moment of every day with the guiding power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God. That presence and that power changes everything. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ, if you're not a believer, we invite you today to make that decision to invite the Savior to come into your life, to let his Holy Spirit take up residence, and then you can begin this dynamic daily relationship, moment by moment, experiencing the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Before we go, I want to tell you about a couple of resources that we hope will strengthen your walk with Christ. First, a companion book to this series, Power for Life. It's entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity: Understanding the Spirit-Filled Life. It's written by Dr. Chappell. It's a powerful paperback book that will be a tremendous companion in your daily devotional life, and it will help you discover the unfolding daily work of power and grace and transformation that the Holy Spirit wants to bring about in your heart now that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's again entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity. You can find out more about it when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. It's also available at amazon.com in paperback form and also for the Amazon Kindle. We hope you'll take a look at it real soon. Next, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find recent broadcasts. You can subscribe for free to the Daily in the Word podcast and take the preaching and teaching of Dr. Chapel on your iPod or computer and listen to it anytime at your convenience. But very importantly, we've redesigned our daily devotional. We're calling it this year Rooted in Christ. Every day to your email box or RSS reader or to your website bookmark page, you'll find a very encouraging daily word of encouragement and devotion. And it's followed by an Old Testament and a New Testament scripture reading that will take you through the Bible in 1 year. It's a free subscription, and we believe that it will help you to become more rooted in Christ in the new year. You can subscribe to it by going to dailyintheword.org and clicking on today's devotion. Again, dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.